All right, guys, this is going to be kind of a bonus episode, or an after party, if you will. We just finished an episode about perception, and I wanted to share a little story with you, something that happened to me way back when I first started working at Rack's Restaurants. Now, the building that we worked in, originally it was a Jack's Restaurants, turned into Burger Chef, turned back into Jack's, and then Rick's, and then finally Rack's. So it was all owned by the same company, and they had different concepts that they put in and out of the restaurant building itself. So it had been remodeled several times. So if you can imagine, the original building was very narrow and small, and the bathrooms were actually in the back of the restaurant outside, which is unusual. Kind of reminds you of a gas station almost. So they eventually covered in the bathrooms, and all they did was extend the roof line and then create a big long hallway that wrapped around the building to go into the back. So that was on one side of the building. The opposite side of the building, they just kept adding on little spaces. So if you walked into the kitchen, imagine a big square, just a huge square. It had in the center of the square a prep table. Nothing fancy. It had a couple different pieces of equipment on the under counter, and we would lift them up and put them on the top counter whenever we needed to use them. To the right-hand side, there was a walk-in cooler against one wall. To the left-hand side, there was a freezer, but the freezer was actually part of the big square, so it actually took up floor space inside the big kitchen square. Beyond that was a small area that used to be an office way back in the day, and it still actually had a floor safe in it, and you could trip over the mechanism to close the floor safe if you weren't careful. We called that the bun room. That's where we would roll in the big tall racks of buns that we would get every day. Then beyond that was a little skinny area that they added, and we called that the stock room. It had built-in wooden shelves, and it was just wide enough for one person to walk down, pick up the stock that they needed, and walked out. You could not put two people to walk around each other in that little tiny area. So that's one end of it. The opposite end is where we kept all the sodas. And back in the day, we used the 5-gallon canisters. The Feigles is what they called them. And they were all stacked up there, or sitting there on the floor, essentially, being hooked up to the carbonator and all the other mechanisms that push the soda into the soda fountains. So that's the kitchen layout. My job back then was a closer. My area was what we call back line. The back line was not actually inside the kitchen area. It was out in the service area where people could watch me slice the roast beef and make it, turn it into a sandwich. The front line was directly in front of my counter. So it wasn't a big area. It was probably maybe 10 feet wide or so. We had 3 registers across the front. Then we had directly behind those registers would be my line, where we had the fryers, and we had stainless steel counters on opposite sides of the fryers. One side did the ham sandwiches, one side did the roast beef. And then, of course, when we got later in the evening, all of it was produced on one side, and that's where we did the roast beef. Off to the right-hand side of that was our pickup window, and it was kind of added on, just like the hallway to the bathrooms were added on. So it kind of stuck out from the main part of the old building. So when we closed, we had 3 people. We had the frontline person who would do the drive-thru and frontline the last hour or so, and then would clean the dining room, take apart the salad bar. Because back then we had about an 18 or 20 item salad bar sitting out in our dining room. Then we had one person that did the kitchen area. And she would come up and help if we got a little bit busy. And she would help either the drive-thru or the front. She knew how to do everything. Her name was Jessie. She was an older lady. She was probably in her 50s. And most of us that were working there were in our teens. And we often referred to her as Mom because she was the motherly figure. She was the one that would get on to the employees if they would cuss and that kind of thing. But she was great at what she did. And we all loved working with her because we knew if we worked with her, we were getting done pretty quick. She was no nonsense. Let's get done and get out of here. And of course, that put me on the back line where I had to clean all the equipment, filter the fryer, sweep, scrub, and mop the floors. Then in the front of the house, the dining room, we had a young lady. Her name was Dottie. She was somebody I had a huge crush on back in the day. She was the same age as me. We were both just out of high school into college, and she would be taking care of the dining room. She would have to vacuum the floor. She would have to sweep the lobby area, and then I would have to go out and mop it, and she would take apart the salad bar. We had a very small cart back then that it was just a stainless steel cart, and everything on the salad bar would fit on that cart. So we would take lids out to cover up all the crocks, pull the crocks out of the salad bar, and then wheel the thing into the refrigerator, the walk-in cooler. And then she would pull the ice out of it, wipe that down, and then move on to her other duties. So she is accomplishing that, just that. She is taking apart the salad bar. She wheels it into the kitchen area and realizes that there's a couple items she needs to restock. one of those items being croutons. So she goes back into the dry stock area that I described to you, that little skinny area they added onto the older building. She goes back and grabs the croutons, and she lets out a scream. Now, I am on the front line doing my normal cleaning duties, and I hear a scream, and I'm thinking, okay, her and Jesse are back there giggling about something. So I totally ignore it. She comes running out of the kitchen. Jesse's right behind her. Both make a beeline to the office. The manager that was working, his name was Nick Colton, and he was an older gentleman in his, I believe, in his 40s at that point. And he prided himself on being the Italian Stallion. You know, this is a time when Rocky came out and those kind of things. So he was really proud of his heritage, and he was the macho man, and he was going to go back and handle whatever problem there was. So he goes back into the kitchen boldly. Now, we had one of those swinging doors, so he opens up the door, bangs against the freezer, and then it slams shut. And it swings back and forth a couple of times, so we know he's angry. He's going back there to fix something. He lets out a yell and comes running out. It's alive. It's alive. And I'm like, what is going on, y'all? So Dottie tells me. She goes back to fill up the croutons, looks down on the floor, and she sees a huge rat. She said it's bigger than your hand, and it's sitting in a pile of sesame seeds or sunflower seeds, and it's eating the sunflower seeds. And I'm like, okay, all that screaming should have chased it away. No, it's sitting there eating. It's brave. Mr. Colton is like, you got to go see it. You got to get it. We got to catch it. You got to get it out of this building. So we have a plan. The plan is to send me to go chase the rat. Dottie would guard the kitchen door so it couldn't run out into the lobby. Jesse would shoo it towards the back door, and Mr. Colton would just supervise. So we all had our plans. We all had a broom. Jesse had a dustpan and a broom just in case, because she was a little bit more brave. Dottie was just going to hit it with a broom. So I have a broom. I go back there and I'm looking around the corner to see if it's there. And it is. It's still there in a pile of sunflower seeds. And I look at it and go, it's not moving. I can't even see it breathing. So I take the bristle end of the broom just to give it a little nudge to see if it's going to come running out. And I'm prepared to get out of its way because I certainly don't want to be bit by something that's rabid, because it was not acting like a normal animal would, because it should have felt cornered and it should have turned to attack, and it wasn't doing that. So I hit it with the bristles and it doesn't move. I'm like, well, is this thing dead? You know, is it allergic to sunflower seeds? What's going on here? So I turn the broom around and hit it with the hard end of the broom. Still doesn't move. I'm like, that's one tough rat. It ain't going nowhere. So I step in a little bit closer, and I'm going to sweep it out in between my legs so it'll start running and hopefully run the right way. And then I saw it. The perception changed. It was no longer a rat. Now, what I want you to understand, in this particular storage area, we also hung up our coats. There was a set of hooks along one wall. This was wintertime. So somebody had a pair of fur-lined gloves that they had pulled off of their hand inside out, and it had fallen out of their jacket pocket onto a pile of sunflower seeds. So the rat that everyone, Jesse, Mr. Colton, and Dottie all thought was a live rat, and had convinced themselves based on one person saying it was a rat. So I picked the thing up, and it's a glove. It is turned inside out. So I come out with it in my hand as if it is still alive, just to get the reaction out of the two girls and Mr. Colton. And I'm sitting there stroking it like it's a little pet rat. Now, if I'd have known the theme to Ben, I would have been singing that, but I spared my fellow crew members that little bit of harassment. But I walked out stroking the thing. How did you pick that up? It's going to bite you. You know, all kinds of, you got to drop that. It's got rabies and everything. And I'm like, y'all, this is a glove. And I showed him the little fingers, the fur-lined fingers. Turned it inside out. It was a leather glove with an interior that was fur-lined. Now, granted, it did look like a rat when it was all balled up, but it was that perception. And then that power of suggestion, because one person said it was a rat, the other two people saw a rat. All in perception. It's all in what you see and what you convince yourself is real or not real. Now, the funny part about this whole story, if you haven't had a little chuckle up to this point, is the gloves were Dottie's. She didn't even recognize her own glove had fallen out of her jacket and was laying on the floor, turned inside out.